We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program here. My name is Bob Arthurs. You are tuned into 91.5 FM WMIE. If you're listening later in the day, you could be at WWBC 1510 AM. Excuse me. Or if you're listening at 5 o'clock, you're back here on WMIE or one of the corresponding frequencies that are retransmitted throughout the county. So I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God and spending a half an hour with you Monday through Friday right here on this great radio station. And we just want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. If you're in the central part of Brevard County and need any help with your heating or air conditioning system, I have a feeling you're not going to need that heat for a few months. But, you know, we could still get a cold spell every now and then. But whatever your problem might be with your cooling or with your climate control system, give them a call, 759-3284. They can do split systems. They can do package units. They can do air handlers and outside units as well. So give them a call. Bill Andrike, he will take good care of you. So we are really, really excited about what is coming up a week from now. And that is our kids' convention that is going to be taking place with the Lucier family. That will be Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. Our sanctuary gets completely and totally transformed. It looks during that week like it looks no other time during the entire season or the entire year. And if you have kids, grandkids, neighbor kids, that could enjoy having the Word of God presented to them on a level that they can understand. There's games, there's prizes, there's fun time, there's all sorts of things. And then there's the opportunity that they have to hear the Word of God at their level, and the altars will be filled each night with boys and girls who are wanting to draw closer to Jesus. So, if you'd like more information about that, you can contact us. You can check out our Facebook page, our web page, MerrittAssembly.com, our Facebook page, Merritt Assembly of God. Like us on there. Keep up to date. We try and keep those two social media sites up to date as best we can as to what is going on. 6:30 every night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And we will look forward to what God is going to do in the lives of those boys and girls. So today we are going to begin to look at some declarations that Pastor Craig Crochelle has put together that he encourages women to speak over their lives, men to speak over their lives. We have touched on a number of things that he put together for himself. I am mighty in his power, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I am the church and I exist for the world, you and I. The church is not a building. It is you and I where we go out as the living body of Christ to touch the world with the love of Jesus and invite them to come and be a part of this glorious church that God has redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So there, in this next series, we are going to be talking about some declarations for women and declarations for men. And I want to tell you there are some duplicates. So what I'd like to do is begin to cover the duplicates first. And one of those, for the women, it says, I'm the daughter of the King of all kings. For the men, it says, I am the son of the King of all kings. And that is, you and I need to remember that we are children of the Most High God. In John chapter 1, in verse number 10, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And if you turn over to John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus, and in verse number 1 it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus answered and said to him, 'How can these things be?'" Now, as I've tried to remind you as we are discussing these declarations only have power if they are the reality of our life and of our relationship with God. You just saying the words will not have any effect. It might make you feel better to say them. It will probably, but add to spiritual confusion if the declaration doesn't match your reality. You will probably be confused. You will probably be bewildered because the results will not be the same if you're just making a declaration. You can be listening to me, and you can say these words, "I am a child of the King of all kings. I'm a child of God." But if you have never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, you are deceiving yourself, and that is the most dangerous person on the planet to deceive is yourself. Don't lie to yourself. If there is a problem spiritually, then you need to realize that you have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is working in you and me to bring us to that place where we confess our sins and ask the Father to forgive us our sins. And so I encourage you, make sure it's a reality. But when it is a reality, don't try and hide or suppress the reality. I remember hearing a story of a football team, and there was they were in the locker room, and they were having a meeting, and there was a man that showed up at the door, and it turned out that he was the father of the quarterback, but he was actually just lost at that point in time. He was trying to find one place and ended up in the team locker room. And the star quarterback was so embarrassed, he just buried his head and kind of slumped down in his seat so no one could see him. And he just pretended that he wasn't, there was any, no connection with that man whatsoever. But this man wasn't alone in making that decision. There was another person, and this guy happened to be one of the backup players, and his dad was also looking for some place, and he ended up in the team locker room, and this backup player stood up and went and introduced his dad to the coach and to the whole team. He was just so proud that his father got to see him in the locker room. And I say that, whether that story is true or not, I don't know. I can't testify to that. It was just a story that I heard. But I do know that there are Christians in both of those situations, where when they go out into public, they are ashamed to acknowledge or represent that God is their Heavenly Father. They don't want anybody to know it because they're afraid of how they are going to be perceived by their peers. And yet there are other people who don't carry around such a high profile, but they carry around as their merit badge, if you will, their relationship with their Father supersedes all of the accomplishments on the field, or all of the fame, or all of the mindset that other people might have that look to them. And so I encourage you today, don't be ashamed if you are a child of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the things that I believe in the gospel. There are people that said, you should be ashamed that you're a member of the Assemblies of God. I'm not ashamed to be a member of the Assemblies of God. Let me tell you why. First of all, I believe in the things that they believe. I understand the scripture. I understand that there are people who see things differently. And, you know, I can understand that. I can appreciate that. Some of their views I can understand, but I'm very comfortable with our theology. I'm comfortable with the past that we have that says not everybody who's ever been a member of the Assemblies of God or a minister in the Assemblies of God has represented God as well as we should have. I understand that, but the same can be said for just about every denomination. But I will tell you this, that we were created not just to have another religious organization, but to be the greatest tool of evangelism that the world had ever seen. And right now, even though the Assemblies of God only represents 1% of the population of the United States of America, and we represent about 1% of the global population, we are one of the only denominations that are growing, and we are growing not in a manner that is just one demographic. We are growing in every segment of society. It doesn't matter where you came from. We are making disciples of all nations. And so we have a tremendous missions organization, but we also realize that to a large extent, the world is coming to America. So we have campus ministries, we have youth ministries, children's ministries, we have addiction ministries, we have ministries to single moms, we have ministries to ethnic groups that are very targeted, and then we have society as a whole. We are very much on the move. So I'm very privileged to be a child of God and also a member of the Assemblies of God. And so if you're looking for a perfect place, Merit Assembly of God is not going to be the place that you're going to feel comfortable. I'm sorry, I'm not a perfect pastor. My staff isn't perfect. The people that come to our church are wonderful saints of God, but you won't find any perfect ones there. All of us have flaws. And I remember having a conversation with some people several years ago. They had just voted in a pastor, and one of the people said, you know, basically that he understands our imperfections. And so I encourage you, if you are a child of God, let the devil be reminded every day, look, I am a child of the Most High God. If you are not a child of God, change that situation right now. Ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life and to forgive you of your sins. So that's for men or women. In Micah chapter 6 is another one of these duplicated message or declarations that he has, and it talks about the way that we will walk. I've told you on this program before about myself walking into the house one day and seeing a shadow, and it was not a shadow that represented the way that I wished to walk. I was kind of slumped over. I wasn't upright. It wasn't perfect posture. I know that's hard to believe, but and when I saw it, I didn't like the way that it reflected the way I was walking, so I changed it. You know, I could have changed the shadow by turning the light off, but that wouldn't have changed my reality. In Micah, Old Testament prophet, chapter 6 and verse number 8, it says this: He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Now, for some of you, that may be a revelation right there, that God actually does have expectations of you and I. That he didn't just put us here on the planet to take in oxygen, to eat 3 meals a day, to go about doing whatever we wanted to do. And at the end, he'd say, welcome home. That's not, he has some expectations of us. And so he lists those out. What are the expectations? And that is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And so if you are a woman or a man today, I want to ask you to join me in making this declaration. I will act justly. I will love mercy. And I will walk humbly with my God. Okay, so to act justly means that you are going to treat people the same way that you would want to be treated. That you are going to, there's not a double standard. Most people have a double standard. They expect mercy from others, and yet a lot of times we have a tendency not to demonstrate mercy towards those who may have messed up. And so we need to make sure that we have honest scales and that we treat each other with justice. I will never forget a missionary. He was younger than I am. He's not that much younger, but he acted much younger. And he said, you know, my generation despises injustice. And for him, the greatest injustice was that not everybody on the planet had the opportunity to hear that Jesus loved them and wanted to adopt them into the household of faith and be their loving Heavenly Father. That was his greatest injustice. And as the Assemblies of God, we have something called the Human Right. Now, it's not the Human Rights Commission. That's a different organization altogether. But the Human Right is for everyone on the planet to have the opportunity to hear of the loving forgiveness and salvation that is available through Jesus Christ. And so that is justice. And so we need to not only be thankful for our family members walking in faith, but we need to make sure that other people's family members are walking in faith. And so, you know, if you don't want your children to have drug problems, then do whatever you can to make sure that other people's kids don't have drug problems. And if you wouldn't want your daughter treated in such a vile manner, as some people do, then don't you treat other people's daughter in vile manners like other people do. There's justice. There's justice that everybody has. At the cross, the ground is level. Everybody, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all need to come to repentance. It's the same standard for everybody. So to act justly or to do justice and to love mercy. I was in a meeting a week ago. It was one of the best meetings I've ever been in my entire life. It was a long, long day. It was over 12 hours of just hanging out with some really phenomenal people. And much to my surprise, it was pastors of churches that were smaller than ours, pastors of churches that were much larger than ours, and then seriously larger than ours, and then extremely larger than ours. And we were all sitting at the table. We were having this discussion because we all wanted to get better. And as we went around the table, all of these pastors, one by one, they all had this in common, that they love mercy. That mercy is our primary gift. For me, mercy has been something, and because I'm a recipient of mercy, I want to be a distributor of mercy. And so I love it. I love showing mercy, but I also realize that at some point in time, that the most merciful thing that you can do is move mercy to the side and let exhortation come and take its place. That's not a thought that originated with me. That was something that I heard in Sunday school almost 20 years ago, that I wasn't teaching the class either, is mercy doesn't just keep extending people rope to where they're literally hanging themselves. Mercy comes along and says, I'm going to pray that God in his great mercy will do whatever is necessary to bring them to that place where they are ready to live a different life. So show mercy. Show mercy. There are a lot of people that are quick to condemn. A lot of people are quick to condemn. And I heard a pastor said, when the religious leadership brought the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, they brought her to Jesus. And he said, phony religious people who don't love mercy, they will be quick to expose. They will be quick to condemn. And he had some other points there, but he was basically showing that there's a serious dichotomy between the way that people who love mercy operate and those who don't love mercy operate. And it doesn't mean that there's never going to be correction and never be rebuke, because that is mercy. God loves us. He loves us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way, and to walk humbly with our God. Now, I want to share with you that the most important part is to walk with God. To walk with God. And then I believe that the further we walk with God, the more humble we are going to become. I remember reading someplace many, many years ago that the Christian army is the only army in the world that you enlist as a general and you come out a private. Because up until then, you've been the one that's in control of your life. But the more you walk with God, the more you realize that he's better qualified to lead your life than you are. And so you're constantly demoting yourself and you are promoting him to a greater level of practical authority. And so walk humbly with your God. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you? And act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. So today, make a declaration. I will do justly. I will love mercy, and I will walk humbly with my God. I'm not going to get through all four of these today. But the third declaration that is generalized for men and women is, through Christ I am strong, gentle, fierce, and compassionate. Okay, so those things on the surface, let me repeat it. Through Christ I am strong, gentle, fierce, and compassionate. Many of those things may sound like they are opposites of one another, but strong and gentle, those two things may sound like they are contradictory, but in actuality, they are not. You see, there are many times when I've been trying to get something accomplished, and because I didn't know the mechanics of the situation, I didn't know how fragile something was, then I would be afraid to show the strength that was necessary. But what I have come to learn through the years is that the most empowered people, the strongest people, don't always use brute force. the greatest strength is that strength that is under self-control to where you can be gentle with someone. It does not take any special talents to be an abuser. It doesn't. But it does take a great deal of strength to be gentle with someone. And so today, through Christ, who gives me strength, you are strong and you are gentle. And here's the other two things, fierce and compassionate. Fierce and compassionate. I looked up the meaning of the word David, King David. And I asked when I was teaching this, what does the word David mean? And people answered correctly. And the meaning of that word is loving. And they will know we are Christians by our love. Really old song. That was even older than I am. I never did really like that song, so I won't sing any more of it for you. But by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. But if you look at the etymology of the word David, where that word comes from, that word that we translate loving comes from a word which means boiling. It's like a boiling passion inside. In other words, it is not just this ooey gooey feeling that says, oh, I just want everybody to love me. It is a passionate, it is an active word. It is, the way that I describe it, it is a burning passion inside. And that you and I, when we are compassionate, we are going to have this fierce compassion for God. So when we come together for worship, I try to encourage our congregation to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And that means there's going to have to be some things left outside of the door. So be compassionate and yet be fierce in your compassion for God. And the last declaration, I'm just going to touch on this and we'll move on tomorrow. I will fight the good fight for what matters most. I want to encourage you to be wise enough to pick your battles. Fight the good fight of faith. If you're a parent, you know there are some battles you have to fight and some battles you just need to let God fight for you. And so I want to encourage you, fight for the good fight of faith. Fight for what matters most. Fight for your relationships. You know, my wife and I, we've been married for over 31 years. And I want you to know, we love one another, but it's not always been easy. I fight for the things and for the people that I love. God bless you today. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, bring you something new, tell how great you are, tell my praise to you.